Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Bobes, and this is the audio diary of my life on the 7th of October 2024, and it must be probably 7:30 or something, I imagine. I'm just going to go and have a look. Oh, it's 7:40. Would you like another cup of tea? It's 7:40. Thereabouts on a very wet Monday morning. Although I did just see some blue sky, so that was quite nice. I'm going to put the kettle on again. Is there enough water? I think there's just about enough water. I had a cup of tea in bed, but I'm going to make a cup of coffee this morning. Sorry about the noises and the bangings. I shall go and collect a mug from Julia. Once I've filled up the water jug. Yesterday was Sunday, obviously. I spent all day answering emails. Doesn't matter how many times you tell people that you're very busy with emails, and please can they not send you too many emails, they still come in, which is a nuisance. Let's grab your cup. Thank you. So they just come in. My cup's in the bathroom. So I spent all day yesterday. I did manage to get a stroll down to the seafront, and I did manage to get about half an hour reading a book. I've got a number of books which I need to read to understand, so that when the guests come in to talk about them, I know what they're talking about. But yes, it was a grey old day, an overcast day. It wasn't wet though, like it is today. I had a guest coming in today, but he is, I think, not very well, so he's not coming in. So I can catch up a little bit more this morning. I have two interviews, however, on Zoom to do. In the evening, the lovely Julia and I, we've been reading these books. We read books to each other, as you probably have gathered. And we had been reading Strawberry Roan by A.J. Street, which I think is his first deviation from writing ordinary, straightforward farming books about the farming life and his life, and commenting on farming in a sort of semi-political way. And this one was his first fiction story. We have actually read a couple of his other fiction stories, but he'd written them later on. So we finished that the other day, and today, like yesterday, I was reading, and Julia was also reading, actually, because I had it printed off, a second Simon Pickle mystery, which is one of the children's books that I've written. Julia was very keen to read all about it, find out what it was about, because she enjoyed the first one about the ghost detective, and this is a sort of a second in the trilogy. Although I haven't yet written the third one. My Splidge series that I wrote, Splidge the Crag Flinger, I did write a trilogy on those. And I did write a book which was a much deeper adventure and fun book about Snug and Cozy, the TV series that we had. And it's that was very good, actually. I say, as a book, as a story. You might say the writing is a bit naff, I don't know. But it wasn't all gobbledygook and slapstick. There was a lot more plot development. A lot of plot development. They all got lots of plot development, which is the bit I really enjoyed, was letting the story unfold as I wrote. Anyway, I've spoken about that many times before. Let me just give Julia her cup of tea. And then we'll have a look and see what our diarist made of today on this day in history. I need to get another shelf unit for the studio. I think I said this a week or so ago. I did go and have a look in the second-hand shops, but I couldn't find one. I need to go to the greenhouse. There we go, my darling.
Did you fill what for the studio?
A bookshelf to get those books off the floor.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Because I still have got this situation where people send me books, I keep buying books. It is that and pipes seem to be my main passion in life, apart from wanting to get on a farm and have some lovely Guernsey cattle, some bees, some chickens, growing some lovely veg, having a greenhouse, you know, all of those things. But some things you can do more quickly than others. So we're working on that one. And I know people are going, oh, you've been speaking about that for ages. Yes, that's because it's a biggie. It's a biggie. We could have resolved it if it was possible just to buy a piece of land and stick your own property on it. But at the moment, we are also fighting councils and so-called permissions. Right, I'm just looking for... Here it is. Right, I am sitting down, ladies and gentlemen. I said it was the 7th of October, didn't I? So here we are, we've got two entries here to have a listen to. October the 7th. The sun had never once been overshadowed by a cloud during the whole of our progress from the centre of Borrowdale. At the summit of the pike, there was not a breath of air to stir, even the papers which we spread out containing our food. There we ate our dinner in the summer warmth, and the stillness seemed to be not of this world. We paused and kept silent to listen, and not a sound of any kind was to be heard. We were far above the reach of the cataracts of Score Fell, and not an insect was there to hum in the air. I think we could probably all guess that that was Dorothy Wordsworth in 1818 in Cumberland. Cumbria, as we now call it, but Cumberland, as it was once called. And, yes, interesting. She does write quite well. I quite like her writing in her diary. Francis Kilvert in 1874 in Radnorshire says, "For some time I've been trying to find the right word for the shimmering, glancing, twinkling movement of the poplar leaves in the sun and wind. This afternoon I saw the word written upon the poplar leaves. It was dazzle, the dazzle of the poplars." So there we are. That was the diarists. Oh, I've got the sniffles again this morning. They soon die away. Tremendous rain came thrashing down in the evening, which is a bit of a blow. I had imagined, what would you do if you were in a place? Luckily, it doesn't really flood round here. We're just high enough. It can flood further down the road I live in. There's a sort of dip. But I have often thought, what would you do if water was coming into the house and you had, say, an hour to shift the stuff that's on the floor? What is on the floor? Well, of course, I've got books. I've got books, and I'd be going, save the books, save the books. The back room is hugger-mugger with stuff. That would have to be lifted up at stairs. I wouldn't care too much about the furniture. It would be save the books and some arch lever files that I've got with old scripts and writings and bits and pieces which are tucked away on underneath shelves and things. They would be having to be saved. And then I thought, what would you do if they turn the electric off? Or there's a power cut for any length of time. If you've got food in there, especially meat, you'd have to try and cook it all, wouldn't you, so that it would last a bit longer. Just keep cooking it. Or put it into a cool box immediately. I have got a cool box, whether it all fit into a cool box. And you'd have to end up sacrificing some or cooking some. So it's interesting to think what you would do. I was slightly concerned that my logs were exposed yesterday in the middle of the night when it was pouring down. because I thought, well, they'll be soaked, and then it makes an effort to get them, but they're all covered up, so that's not a problem either. A friend got in touch yesterday and asked me to recommend him some tobacco. And I said, oh, I said, that's interesting. He said, I have bought myself a pipe. And he's bought himself a church warden pipe. So that's very nice. I haven't got a church warden pipe, actually. They are good for a cool smoke. And if you're reading and, you know, your head is sort of coming down onto your chin, your chin, rather, is resting on the top of your chest, as it were, and you're looking down at the book, an ordinary pipe can sort of send the smoke up your nostrils and be irritating. But a church warden, because it extends about a foot, the stem is about up to a foot. It can be 8 inches or 10 inches or a foot long. So you're holding it, you know, some distance from you with this long stem. So it's a longer stem, so the smoke has time to cool. And, of course, it's away from you. So any of the residual smoke that comes out of the bowl, that does not go immediately up your nose and irritate you. So that was very good. I must get one of those at some point. I've been enjoying my Meerschaum pipe very much that the lovely Julia gave me. That is a lovely smoke. But I was recommended to eBay, funnily enough, by a friend online who suggested that I have a look at a certain page. Now, I have been on eBay before, and there are what looks like very cheap pipes. And when I've seen them, I've looked at where they came from, and some of them, quite a few of them, come from China. And I thought, oh, I don't want ones from China. Thank you very much. No disrespect to the Chinese. But we get so many imports from China, and often they are quite inferior because they're mass-produced in huge numbers. And I thought, what, you know, a pipe is something that generally is handmade, even though in a factory, bits of it are manufactured with lathes and various things. Some pipe makers make pipes completely by hand and carve and do all that, and some use machines. But even a place like Peterson's, who make pipes, and various others, I can't remember how you pronounce it. Savaleni, is it? I can't remember how you pronounce it. Anyway, the particular page that I was sent to have some very interesting looking pipes, relatively inexpensive, and they seem to be from Poland. It said handmade, and by that, obviously, this is where you get the sort of difference between mass production, and you can still hand make something if you're still using machines. You use small machines to make things, don't you? A carpenter might still use an electric saw. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's not handmade. He's cut out the pattern and he's cut out and measured everything, and he's using an electric saw to help him do things. If it goes in one end of a machine and comes out the other, that's obviously not handmade. So with these pipes, you know, made in Poland, they're obviously in some workshop that makes several of them. I wouldn't think that the pipe smoking market is massive, but it's quite a niche. And more people, funnily enough, are getting back into it. I think the internet has been responsible for that. And I've obviously influenced a couple of people because they've said, yes, we're going to get out our old pipes, or we're looking at where do you get a pipe. So a number of people have actually asked me. And that's it's nice to think that people are interested in their health. Now, I know people will go, hang on, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Well, it isn't an oxymoron if you realise that certain things that are being spread around, like heavy metals and RNA vaccines, are causing damage in many different ways, either in the food or by spreading or by filling the atmosphere in one way or another. and that nicotine is a great way to deal with it and protect you. And smoking is a good way of ingesting the nicotine in a natural process, albeit by fire, of course. And if you can do that without having any other additives, which you're less likely to have in pipe tobacco, than huge manufacturing of cigarettes, in which the tobacco blend can be indoctrinated with all sorts of stuff. Anyway, spoken about this many times, of course. So, point I was trying to get to is there was a nice pipe on there. There was loads of nice pipes, to be honest with you. And it was made of briar. And I thought, I will punt on one of them, give it a punt, and see if it works. And what the quality is. Will it come back as not being really very good? Because you can pay a couple of £100, £300 for a pipe. And others you can pay £30. So I paid this £35 that this one was. And it's the bowl, as such, has a flat bottom, which has the benefit that it will sit upright. It won't fall over. Some of the bowls are sort of apple shaped, and so they've round bases, and they, you know, you need a little stand or something to put them in. But this will just sit. But it looks like it's one of those that has the looks like the trunk of a tree that has been sliced at the top, but uneven, somewhat undulated. So it's very rustic, and then it's been sandblasted on the outside, which sandblasting gives it a sort of a rough feel, like the bark of a tree, so that it looks very nice. It looks like a piece of oak, in actual fact. It's quite lightweight, and that means that the briar itself is very dry, which is good. You want that. And sandblasting is handy for pipe makers, because it can hide blemishes in the pattern. In fact, if you sandblast it all, like this one is, you don't need the pattern, because the sandblasting is the pattern that you create. So there's lots of different styles of pipes. You get round some pipes where the briar and the natural grain is so good, it looks like a fiery bowl. They enhance that, so they would have sorted them into, you know, ones that will be sandblasted because there's lots of pits in them and things. Well, that doesn't matter when you're sandblasting, because you get a completely different style and shape. But if you want one that is a sort of glossy, fiery effect from the grain coming from the bottom and radiating up in this sort of fire-licking strands, as it were, that you get some of these pipes, you pay a hell of a lot more for that, because they are limited edition things, and there are some which are just stunning. And individual pipe makers, artisan pipe makers, will look at a block of that and perhaps fashion the bowl based on the grain. And yeah, there must be now quite a lot of briar that has come into use, because when you think that when everybody was smoking pipes back in the 30s, 40s, 50s and before, the demand for briar must have been absolutely huge, and great swathes of it would have been removed from the, well, where is it coming from? The hotter countries where they get it from. And now with the dearth of actual pipe smokers, although I would argue that, as I said before, I think it's a growing market again. I think there should be now, in that interim time of 30 years, I think, as it sort of dipped out of favour, quite a lot of briar, if the briar is still farmed. So hopefully it is. Anyway, this is as I say, it's a lovely pipe. It's a bent pipe. So, in other words, it's bent at the top and it drops down in a sort of Sherlock Holmes type bent pipe shape. But with this very rusticated bowl that looks like it's a little section of a trunk, and it smokes very well. It came with a filter, which is there to capture the moisture, really, rather than anything else. But I remove that. I mean, I think a lot of pipe smokers do. It's got a larger interior diameter flue. It's usually, I think if I've got it right, 6 mil or 9 mil. This would be a 9 mil, I think, because you get a very easy flow. It's a slightly bigger bowl than my normal ones. My little finger drops in right up to the knuckle. And sometimes you want a pipe that you know is going to last a fair bit of time. My Meerschaum is probably half the amount of tobacco in it, and so that would give me half an hour. This one would probably give me up to an hour if I smoke it very slowly. And if you're reading or something like that, it's great. So and of course it clamps in the mouth quite nicely. I don't clamp mine, for hours and ends, as you see some old codgers walking about, their pipes permanently fixed in and their teeth have moulded into a shape that holds the pipe. I do a mixture of two. Sometimes it's clamped, but very loosely, for a very short duration. But it's very enjoyable. So, yes, I thought I'd just share that about that. And so I may well get a few more in due course. You can go mad buying the pipes, but really what one needs to do is to buy the tobacco, because I feel that tobacco will probably be something that the government doesn't want anybody to have because of its restorative properties and health giving the nicotine in it. People often use tobacco to... I think the primitive people used to use tobacco leaves to sterilise or to clean the environment. I forget what they call it now. Some people use the bark of a certain tree and they use that to, I don't know, it's like an incense in a way, I suppose. It's a sort of clearing the tension and the bad odours and the air and, you know, the spirits and things. And tobacco leaves have been used for a long time. So smoking a pipe is great if you don't use too much adulteration in the fuel. So anyway, there we go. Bit of fun, isn't it? Right, I will leave you to get on with your day. Thank you for listening. Until the next one, bye-bye.